Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Leighton Branding. I'm your host, John Robert Gallagher. And in this episode, I'll be talking about comment policies as well as netiquettes. And netiquettes are just web etiquettes or etiquettes for writing on the World Wide Web and producing on the World Wide Web. So, once again, welcome back to Leighton Branding, everybody. Just for the sake of this episode, I'm going to define comment policies as external documents or external guidelines. That is, how you as a content producer want to manage your audiences. And then I'm going to define netiquettes as something internal, i.e. something that you want to obey yourself. And again, I know that comment policies and etiquettes are a little bit more fluid than that, but I want to sort of keep them separate. So I'm just for the sake of this episode and this podcast, I'm going to use comment policies as something that you as a content producer are trying to do with your audience, and then netiquettes is something that you are trying to do with your own self-conduct. In terms of comment policy, you want to think about strategically managing what appears in the comments, whether it's YouTube, a blog, whether it's on Facebook, or even on your own personal website. So, for instance, you want to delete any spamming links, any uncivil comments that have swear words, misogynistic vitriol, racist words. You want to delete all of those things. Those things actually have an effect not only on other valuable comments, but also on the perception of the original content, or I call it the initial content in my head. So developing an appropriate comment policy is really going to help not only you, it's going to help your readers, and it's going to help that comment section from being off-putting. And so the other thing that sort of managing and deleting those sort of irrelevant comments is that it's going to make more room for the better comments, the comments that are adding to the discussion, that are actually creating a discussion. And in this sense, the comment policy will help to foster a sense of community and sort of keep more of an oral conversation as opposed to long textual conversations. And so this brings me to sort of an important point. I think you, when you create a comment policy, you want to set a limit for how long comments can be. Sort of comments that are, you know, 500 words long, not only aren't going to get read, but are going to disrupt the formation of a community, the formation of a conversation surrounding your content. And so it's important to set not only perhaps a minimum, let's say that 10 words or something along those lines, but also a maximum, let's say 150 words. And even that is a long comment. Personally, I prefer having comments that are between 15 and 50 words, and that way you get a sense of depth to the comments, but also they don't go on rambling, unconstructive, uncivil sort of environments. The other thing that you want to think about is that what is the purpose of the comment section? So for me, like I said previously, I think that a comment section is really geared towards having a conversation. Some people view it as a chance to correct the original author. I actually don't think that's what comment sections are for. Those can be, you can send someone an email. Or you can have your audience to send you an email if you want to be issued a correction per se. So I think that comment sections are really meant for conversations and sort of more of an oral idea than textual. Another important feature of comment policies is to give consideration as to what kind of language you're going to ban and what kind of language you're going to encourage. And so what do I mean by this? While it's obvious that you want to get rid of vulgar language, swear words, rude and antagonistic comments, right? Personal attacks, derogatory comments, those are very sort of easy comments to identify and delete, to try and ban. But you want to offer your readers, listeners, watchers examples of those kinds of things, because too often people might use the word bullshit. And bullshit isn't inherently a derogatory word. It's only in context. So you want to offer some examples of what kind of comments will get deleted or banned or are not permitted. At the same time, you also still want to allow room for disagreement to occur, for contradictory viewpoints to be expressed. And you want to make sure that you aren't deleting criticism or rational arguments from the comments. You want to delete sort of specific examples of comments that aren't helping you to achieve your content's purpose. So I know that's a little bit vague, but it's important to delineate deleting comments that are irrelevant and generally derogatory versus encouraging comments that still express multiple viewpoints without delving into racism, Nazi-est type of sort of comments there. And so the best way to do this is to have specific examples within your comment policies. Within the realm of comment policies, then, there is a debate about how long they should be. Some people favor a 20-word policy that's vague. Some people favor a very detailed version of a comment policy with examples. I, for one, even though people might not read it, I actually prefer to have a lengthier comment policy. Why? Because you can have examples. It allows you as the owner and the proprietor of your content to better manage your comments and better manage your audiences. And of course, you don't want a comment policy that is 1,000 words long. But for me and my experiences, my students' experiences, and the professional writers who I've interviewed, a comment policy that is 300 words long is going to do a lot better than one of those short, vague policies that is only 20 to 50 words long. Bullet points are always helpful with these comment policies. Also, creating an order, so putting the most important things first, such as, you know, if you're going to ban swear words, go ahead and list the swear words and say anything that contains these words will not be allowed and will be deleted. Anything that contains the F word, for instance, will be automatically deleted. Any kind of misogynistic language, any type of racist slurs, these will automatically be deleted. And so that way you give your audience a better sense of what kind of comments they're allowed to make. And then you also, and this is very important to the comment policy, oftentimes, at least with my students, they oftentimes try to sort of address the negative comments, but and they can give examples of negative comments. However, finding positive comments and trying to define what positive comments look like, how they read, how they sound, how they are written, those are important kinds of things to do as well. So a comment policy shouldn't just be defining what gets banned. It should also be primarily, in fact, defining what kinds of things are encouraged. And so in my experiences, I would encourage people to not only sort of define the negative, but define the positive as well. So now I'm going to change gears and talk about netiquettes, which again, could be sort of like a comment policy, but just for the sake of this episode, I'm going to define them as sort of what kind of conduct you as a content producer should try to aim for. And so I just have a quick list of sort of bullet points here. And in light of the podcast larger goals, I actually want to just touch on here. I actually think a lot of the netiquette things, even though they're in the context of online content and online writing, they're actually applicable to sort of our everyday interactions. And so it's helpful to remember that a lot of what I'm saying on this podcast isn't just applicable to web writing or content production on the web, but also to writing in general, to content production in general, and to our sort of everyday life conduct. So it's important to remember that your audiences are generally, unless you're a huge organization, are generally trying to add to the conversation. They view comments, they view interactions as interesting. They do skew generally towards late 20s, early 30s. They do skew much more towards men. And so there are some ways that you want to think about your audiences that there are certain kinds of people who are going to be – who have an affinity for responding. But it's important to remember that they're still human. These are still people. You know, they're not just these little blocks of text. They're not just little blocks of comments. And so there are people who are behind those comments. And so it's important to remember as an aspect of your internal netiquette to respond to some of these comments and to think about which ones to respond to. Usually I try to identify comments that have questions in them and then try and identify questions that are sincere. So questions that don't already have an answer inside of them, like rhetorical questions, you don't have to worry about answering. But if somebody's asking a question, you want to try as the content manager, as the content producer, to try and answer those questions if you get them. Other thing is that the second point, in addition to remembering that your audiences are real people, is that you want to think about your audiences and yourself as real people in real life. And so I generally don't try to draw a distinction between the behavior online and the behavior in real life. If I'm not going to say something to somebody face-to-face, I won't write it online. And I think that a lot of people should try to internalize those rules. Now, again, that's, you know, sort of utopia pie in the sky from me, John Gallagher, but it's something that I try to encourage in my students, and I try to sort of spread that throughout the web. The other thing is that you want to be careful and respectful of people's time, and that when you are producing content, you are not going too long. I try to sort of limit myself nowadays to a 10-minute episode podcast so that my episodes don't get too long for my students. Most of the time as well, when you're dealing with your audiences, if they do, or if they are returning listeners, or if they're people who are consistent readers of yours, they're probably coming to you for particular kinds of advice, and they respect you. And so you want to see yourself as an expert sharer, as sort of a person who has some knowledge that you're going to share, and that you're trying to sort of inculcate a good relationship with your audiences. And so in terms of sort of being that expert sharer, it's important to think about your role as a trustworthy news source. And so you want to make sure that your statements are backed up by facts, that your statements are backed up by thorough experiences, so on and so forth. And then one of the last points about an etiquette is to try to maintain a sense of consistency. This is going to improve your brand and your image, but it's also going to give expectations for your audience, and it's going to make sure that you don't abuse your power as sort of this source of knowledge. And so, again, it's important not only to sort of listen to what my netiquette rules are here, sort of my ideas that I want you to take with yourself, but also that you want to develop the netiquette for yourself. And so one of the things that I have my students do is to develop what rules as a content producer do you want to inculcate in yourself? In other words, what kind of standards and values do you have for yourself when you're producing content? And so I think that's where I'll end the episode, is that you need to sort of put down and inscribe in a bullet point list and stick it somewhere where you're going to see it every day of a kind of rules and values that you're going to inculcate in your own behavior as well as in your audience. All right. So once again, I am John Robert Gallagher. If you have any comments or questions, I would love to hear from you. You can contact me at johnrgallagher@gmail.com. You can also hit me up on Twitter. My handle is @MereSophistry. Once again, everybody, thanks for listening.